you can't get through a project on momentum alone. But there are mechanisms you can use to tweak your motivation and make better use of what momentum you have. These motivation mechanisms aren't one size fits all. You have to choose which ones work for you. This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cataby. As I talked about on episode 291, getting through a creative project is like skateboarding through a half pipe. You have a lot of motivation going into a project due to your high expectations. Even if your expectations were to be met, it would still be impossible to coast through to the end of a project. There's too much friction along the way. Experienced skateboarders know how to soar out of half pipes because they know how to tweak their momentum. Experienced creators know how to follow through on creative projects because they know how to tweak their motivation. But gaining this experience is a catch-22. You can't finish projects if you don't know how to tweak your motivation, and you don't know how to tweak your motivation if you haven't finished projects. You have to learn through trial and error what keeps you motivated. Finish smaller projects and build your shipping skills along the way. But it doesn't have to be guesswork. If you know what motivation mechanisms are at your disposal and the strengths and pitfalls of those mechanisms, you can more quickly gain an understanding of your motivation. There are three main motivation mechanisms: carrots, sticks, and blinders. The carrot and the stick are classic motivation mechanisms that have been in the scientific literature on motivation for a very long time. If you're riding a horse, there are two ways to motivate him: dangle a carrot in front of his face or strike him in the flank with a stick. The carrot represents the promise of potential reward. The stick represents the threat of potential punishment. And what I call blinders block out distractions and keep the horse focused on the road ahead. We're attracted to rewards and we avoid punishments. If we set up our projects so action leads to carrots and inaction leads to sticks, we'll get motivated and maintain the momentum to finish, in theory. One way to work carrots into your projects is to have promising data. If you have market research that suggests you'll earn a lot of money if you finish the project, you might have an easier time getting motivated, or you might merely be so curious about the outcome of the project that motivates you to follow through. You can also use external rewards as carrots. For example, you might promise yourself a vacation if you finish a project. On a more granular level, you might promise yourself a piece of chocolate for every 100 words you write. One way to work sticks into your projects is to do part of a project that will result in a punishment if you don't finish the rest of the project. I call this the whip in my book, The Heart to Start. When I create a new email course, for example, I use the whip. I set up a landing page promising emails on a schedule, then send traffic to the landing page. Once I have signups, I'm highly motivated to finish writing all the emails in the course as the promised dates approach. This same tactic has worked for other people who have tried my explosive email course formula. You can also use external punishments as sticks. You can promise to pay your friend $100 if you don't finish your project by a certain date. On a more granular level, you can punish yourself for behavior that doesn't drive your project forward. Manish Sethi, who I interviewed on episodes 13 and 117, created Pavlok, a wristband you can program to shock you when you do things you'd rather quit. I once used it to quit Facebook, and it was shockingly effective. Carrots can reward you for the behavior you want to be motivated to do, and sticks can punish you for what you don't want to be motivated to do. Blinders can keep you more focused on what you want to be motivated to do while blocking out what you don't want to be motivated to do. Blinders can be physical or mental. If you have a dedicated office or space you do your work, that's a form of physical blinder. By working in that space many times, your mind has been trained to focus on work when in that space. As I talked about in Mind Management, Not Time Management, even if you don't have much space, you can set up certain cues in your environment to serve as blinders. When I was first starting on my own in a tiny bedroom in San Francisco, I transformed that space from bedroom to office through strategic use of a room divider, aromatherapy, and lighting. Physically separating yourself from a potential source of distraction is another type of physical blinder. If you put your phone in another room or in a lockbox with a timer, that's a blinder. By using a grippy instead of slippy tool, you're also using a blinder. There are many options of distraction-free writing devices, but I write my first drafts on an antique typewriter. Rules and schedules can serve as mental blinders simply by deciding that you will or won't do something within some period of time. You focus your mind on the target behavior while blocking out distractions. The first hour rule is an effective blinder. Spend the first hour of your day working on your most important task. You can get a lot done in an hour and can usually hold off any other activity for that short period of time. You can also use mental blinders not only for the benefits of the behaviors they promote, but also for the secondary effects of those behaviors. The 10-minute hack, or setting a timer for 10 minutes to focus on one task, isn't powerful so much for the work you do in those 10 minutes, but for the momentum it creates. 10 minutes is an easy decoy goal that short-circuits your ego's excuse engine, but once those 10 minutes are up, you usually have the momentum to keep going. On the contrary, cheat days, whether when dieting or reducing, say, social media intake, can let the superego take a rest and let the id blow off steam. It can be hard or even detrimental to quit things cold turkey, but if there's one day a week you can cheat, it can make the rest of the week tolerable. As you can see, there is a huge variety of motivation mechanisms you can use to keep yourself going when projects get tough. But the motivation mechanisms that work for one person won't necessarily work for another. And some mechanisms are prone to particular pitfalls that others aren't. First, some of the pitfalls of these mechanisms. The biggest problem with carrots is eventually you get your fill of carrots. This tends to be more of a problem when the rewards you're using are external and not an integral part of the project. If you're, say, giving yourself a piece of chocolate for every 100 words you write, there's a good chance you won't be as motivated by the 10th piece of chocolate as you were by the first. But even when the rewards are integral to the project, you can tire of those rewards and need to search for another source, as I talked about in my reflections on 15 years as a creator on episode 283. Also, external carrots especially can make doing the work more about the destination, the carrot dangled in front of you, than about the journey. External rewards can actually reduce your motivation. Behavioral scientist Dan Ariely described on episode 51 that Intel lost productivity when an experimental monetary bonus was removed relative to more integral rewards such as verbal praise. When self-administering external carrots, you also need to be disciplined enough to dole out the reward to yourself properly. It doesn't take much imagination to see how giving yourself chocolate for every 100 words could backfire. Sticks can be prone to many of the same problems as carrots. The punishment may lose its effectiveness. Doing the activity while motivated to avoid punishment may cause you to enjoy it less. And you have to be disciplined enough to administer the punishment for it to matter. Blinders tend to have fewer problems than carrots or sticks. They don't use external stimuli, so there's less chance of your motivation getting misdirected. Instead, the more you use blinders, the easier the target activity tends to get. As the neuroscience saying goes, neurons that fire together wire together. So each time you do the target activity, it's easier to do it again. Each time you work in your home office, you train yourself to work when in your office. When you spend the first hour of your day working on your most important project, you make it easier to do it again tomorrow. Blinders are nearly foolproof because the source of your motivation stays within the project or the activity itself. And that's the best source of motivation. So if you must use external carrots and sticks, do so sparingly. If you're relying on external rewards and punishments to motivate yourself, or if you can't find the self-discipline to administer your own blinders, that's a bad sign. You clearly don't enjoy the activities involved in completing the project, and/or completing the project isn't meaningful enough to you to be a source of motivation. Now, there's, of course, a lot of research on motivation, how effective carrots, sticks, or even blinders are, but none of that matters as much as how each of these motivation mechanisms work for you personally. A motivation mechanism such as external rewards may backfire in the confines of a scientific study in a context different than your project and averaged out amongst the study subjects rather than on an individual basis. If you want to finish lots of projects, you need to become an expert on your own motivation. Be a curious observer of yourself and how you respond to carrots and sticks, internal and external, and how well you can administer and react to your own blinders. You'll get through more projects, and each time you do, you'll learn a little more about how to keep and build momentum to get through bigger and bigger half pipes. Thank you for having me on your podcasts. Thank you to Paul Millard at The Pathless Path. Here's a clip.
My roommate was filling out applications to go to business school. And I thought, if he's going to go spend, you know, six figures for this degree, like, why can't I spend $40,000 for a year and call it my tuition? A year of freedom.
I love that.
A year of, okay, you don't have to try to make a cent. Just try to make it worth getting out of bed.
You can listen to my interview on The Pathless Path wherever you get your podcasts.
Love Your Work is brought to you exclusively by our Patreon supporters, including top supporters Jeffrey Mason and Bob Rosen.
The theme music for Love Your Work is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Cadaby, Inc.